Well, I'm gonna. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sherry Staples, and I am a member of Al-Anon, and my home group is in Newport News, Virginia. And they think I talk really fast in Virginia, but maybe Canadians can understand me a little better, because you are further north, so hopefully it'll be okay. I'm going to ask every one of you, and not to look at the written side, behave. I want you to look this side. I want you to take one of these cards, okay? I thought I'd have this, like, manageable-sized workshop of, like, 20 people, and apparently we grew, so here we go. So everybody take one of these.
Everybody?
Yeah, everybody gets one. Yeah, and then if you don't, you have to share with your neighbor, okay? I want to show you, when I think about progress, not perfection, it's one of my number one character defects, perfectionism. I think it happens to a lot of us that grow up in alcoholic homes because our lives are so unmanageable and life is so chaotic and crazy that for me, I long to have this structured life that everything was kind of like Ozzie and Harriet. Everything was kind of predictable and nice and you knew it was going to happen at all times. And so I strove for perfection in everything I did. And I still have that tendency. Now, I'm going to show you, if you can't see, you have to stand up. But I want to show you, when my husband and I met before we got married, we would be sitting at my coffee table, okay? See this lovely arrangement? Okay, this is lovely, right? Well, my coffee table has lovely arrangements. So we'd be watching TV, and Doug would be stretching out, and I'd go in the kitchen to get us something to drink or anything like that, and I'd come back. And the arrangement would look like this, because he had put something down. So I would... And then later on, he would get, enthusiastic about something. This is not going to work on the audio tape, by the way. But anyway. And I do this. Yeah? Okay. Well, one day I came in, and he thought he'd be really funny, so he had everything everywhere like that. And I said, will you stop that? And he said, are we having problems with the perfectionism of the table? And I said, hell yes. That's the kind of person I am. When my daughter was born and she got her first play kitchen, she had that play food, and when I would pick up after when she was 2 or 3 years old, I would put the meat on one shelf in her play refrigerator and the vegetables, and I'd alphabetize the little boxes. Now, I don't know about Al-Anon, but Lindsay taught me to not be so perfect. My little Better Homes and Gardens house became decorated in Fisher-Price and Graco and all those things that children accumulate. And I had an Al-Anon dinner at my house one night, and someone said, oh, look, your little house doesn't look the way it used to anymore. And I looked around in an absolute panic and saw that, yes, there was stuff everywhere. Children's things were everywhere. And I thought to myself, you know what? I kind of like this better. And so with the help of Al-Anon, I made the decision to make progress in my life and not expect perfection for myself, my life, or other people's lives because I decided I was going to enjoy my daughter the way she was. Not the way I wanted her to be, which is a damn good thing, because Lindsay is pretty much just like me, and it's a scary, scary thing. So how did I do that? Well, I've been in Al-Anon a few 24 hours, and I decided to work on those things that had to do with me and to become a better, more easygoing person. Now, that's not my personality. My personality is type A, very type A. But I found that there were certain things anymore that weren't so important. And I learned to relax, and I learned to get better at things that I didn't think I needed to be better at, and that was patience and to enjoy life. So I thought to myself when Richard asked me to do the workshop, he asked me, what would you like to do? And we talked, and I liked progress, not perfection, because that's really a problem for me. It always will be. I'll always be arranging things and alphabetizing things and fixing things. So it's just one day at a time for me. So we chose that, and then I promptly forgot about it. So 2 days ago or 3 days ago on Wednesday, Richard called and he said, are you ready for your workshop? And I did not remember my workshop. Surprise! So I had a nice 3-hour flight from Chicago to here. I slept from Newport News to Chicago. So I thought, well, what could I use? So I grabbed the blueprint for progress, the new one. And when I first came in the program, we had the old one, which you could use as toilet paper for all I was concerned. Please don't let WSO hear that. But I like the new one. And so I went through it, and I picked out topics I thought that were really good for us to work on progress, not perfection. And I picked out those things that talk about self-esteem and honesty and trust and spirituality, things that tell us it's okay for us to be who we are. So if you did, like I told you, you all have a little card now. And the color code means absolutely nothing. I got that from my daughter's backpack before I left, so I just grabbed her cards. So they mean nothing. But I thought that I would talk a little bit about self-worth, and then we would talk about some of the questions. And the only thing I would say is I've already talked way too long. Just remember your neighbor. I hate when you get in a workshop and somebody talks for 15 minutes and then nobody else gets a chance to share. So I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to toss out a question. If you got that question, bingo, you're on the spot. Okay? Oh, look at your face back there. Oh, poor thing. Yeah, that's you turning around. I saw you. And if you really, really, really don't feel good about that, you can just pretend you don't have the question. And just anyway, I did like what it said in the self-worth portion of this, and so I'm just going to read a little portion of it. With some of us, the awareness of our importance and value as human beings was nourished from the beginning. For many of us, however, living within the grasp of the disease of alcoholism seriously affected our outlook. We hid our feelings of self-worth deep within, and our perspective became distorted. Many of us even tried to conceal that we felt worthless on the inside to the point that we couldn't show any real warmth and concern for anyone, including ourselves. A little work in the right direction can revive our natural gifts that have been hidden by years of dysfunction. If we feel guilty because we think we caused the problem, if we doubt our ability to do anything right, or if our fear of change has turned into a real sense of self-hatred, then it is our advantage to tap into our abilities of patience, honesty, and willingness. We do this to get on the road to recovery. Because I didn't have a good opinion of myself, I was concerned with what others thought of me, and any kind of disapproval or rejection made me uncomfortable. If others liked me, then I felt good about myself. If they disliked me or criticized me, I felt compelled to change to please them. My opinion of myself depended entirely on others. Today, I realize that instead of putting the opinion of others first, I must first work on improving my own feelings of self-worth. As long as I feel like a truly worthwhile person, I can be less concerned with what others think. And so I thought that's how we would start. So one of the friends, Kitty likes it, I heard her go, because I'm very concerned about what Kitty thinks. Does anybody have the question which says, what do I usually do when someone pays me a compliment? I'm looking for your face. I'll know if you have it. You got it! Good morning.
Because I don't have a real good opinion of myself. I'm starting to understand that. But it's I really try now when somebody says something to not instantly get my mouth going, to negate it. You know, and it's, somebody told me a long time ago when I was away going to school, and they even said that to me. They said, you just can't take a compliment. And I sort of took that as rejection too. Typical. So it's, yeah, it's appropriate that I got this one. But it really is. Doing the program, doing the steps, and you gradually realize. I think for me, in the last even just few months, it's like I have to start loving me. And then I can fix other things. But mostly fix me. Because I can't do anything about the other things.
Cool, that works.
Serenity prayer is.
I'm wandering around. I just suddenly realized I wandered without my book. I'm wandering around because I got this little microphone attached to me, and I want them to be able to hear people. So when you start to talk, if I come up to you like this, I'm like putting you on the spot. Anybody have the question, how comfortable am I in my relationship with my higher power? Who has that? So how comfortable are you, darling?
Surprisingly, I'm okay. I really am. I've shared this more often than not. I grew up, I've always had God in my life. Okay, I grew up, I was raised Catholic, I went to Catholic schools, but it's only since coming into program that I have a higher power in my life, and that's a whole new ball game. That's totally different than the God of my understanding as a child. And today it's good. I'm comfortable with my higher power. We have talks sometimes that I don't necessarily agree, but I've had to learn to accept, you know, and I've had to learn to accept my higher power's workings in my life, and that hasn't always been easy, and I fought, and I screamed, and I clawed, and I kicked, and I scratched, but I had to do it in the end. Until I had to do it, then there was no peace. So, on the whole, it's pretty good, but I have my moments.
I think that's okay. I think God doesn't mind if you claw and kick and scratch. As long as you keep the line of communication open, I think that's great. Not that anybody really cares how I think, but there you go. Who's got the question, how do I know when another's behavior is unacceptable to me?
That's me.
Oh, she's got it? Do we have two? Oh, guess who goofed on the plane? Well, you both get to answer it then. What? Never mind, then. Both of you are going to get the answer. So you're first.
Okay. How do I know when another behavior is unacceptable to me? Probably before Al-Anon, I accepted it because I thought my self-worth was really low. But now I feel like I respect myself and who I am. And I don't like it, but I think it's their stuff.
Well, no, actually, that's the second question, and it goes with that one. What it is now she's, how do I know when it's unacceptable?
Okay.
How do I let her know?
I guess it kind of depends on... my mother, I'm not quite sure how to answer this question. I always think about how will the other person feel if I tell them what I'm feeling, right? So if it's my mother, I don't tell her that that's not acceptable. If it's my partner, I've become much clearer about that and stating how I feel, but that's not that the behavior is unacceptable to me. And that was really, really hard to do, and I didn't it took a crisis to make me really think about what was going on and to say, I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to accept this. Now, how do I put that across without being angry, without nagging, without whatever? And so I sat down and I wrote it out in a letter. And then I arranged a meeting and sat down and read the letter. That was the only way I could do that without going off or getting lost in all of it. I had to be very, very focused about this is not acceptable, this is not acceptable, this is not acceptable, and here's what I'm going to do. What you do, that's your business. So that's sort of how I felt with that one.
Thank you. How do I let another know that his just did that, didn't I? Sorry. Catch up with the program here. Who has what do I like about myself? Oh, the girl with a fabulous shirt. Hello. Just me and my mic here, don't mind me.
And it wasn't until, you know, it was just before I got into the program that I started to accept certain things of myself. So to answer the question, what I like about myself is I like the fact that I have so much initiative to learn, and I take that initiative to a different place. So, for example, I have the courage to initiate change, especially in work, and for now being in the program in myself, and I like that because I know, you know, not everyone has it, and I didn't realize I had it in myself, and there's other things I like that I'm able to speak up and take risks, and I like the fact that I can debate issues when people tell me this can't be done and it's not going to be different, and I think otherwise, and I think it can be. And I like it, you know, when I debate the issues and then I succeed in the change. So I like all those things. I like the strength that I have, and I know I have it. And there's times when I don't have it, and then I get that strength from other people.
Thank you. Who has what do other people like about me? Hello.
That's a very, very interesting question for me, because I think it's something that I'm only just starting to become aware of, and more I think I'm just starting to be to focus on what do I like about me, because for the longest time what other people liked about me, I assumed was a reflection of how they treated me or how they responded to me. The judgments that I have about others and the judgments that I have about myself, transferring that onto others and expecting that other people were treating me and viewing me that same way, so that there wasn't a likable quality that you could have. It's a question of how you responded in this particular situation or how you behaved and whether that was acceptable or whether that was good enough. So I'm getting to the point, and I think it's more focusing on myself rather than others. What do I like about me? And the things that I like about me, I think, are things that other people are going to like about me as well.
Thank you. Who has... Can I derive satisfaction out of working to improve myself? Hi there.
When I let myself derive satisfaction, I'm fairly new, like a few months in Al-Anon. I had to get past, and some days I still really have resentment. That because of someone else's actions, this is how crazy I got. On the other hand, I didn't grow up in an alcoholic home, but there's still some of the traits, I guess. I think it comes from being the oldest in the family. Take care of everybody else. So, yes, I'm happy when I can keep my mouth shut and not go crazy about keeping my mouth shut. That happens once in a while. Not as much as I'd like, but yes, I'm happy with how much I have learned.
Thank you. I remember talking to someone one time and saying to them, in a very bad situation in my life, and I said, what do people, it was actually the minister I had at the time, and I said, what do people without a program do in situations like this? And he said, well, they don't do very well. And so I've always been grateful that I have the Al-Anon program. I will never say I was grateful that my father was an alcoholic because it took his life, but I am grateful I have the Al-Anon program because it allows me to work on myself. And a lot of people don't have that, and that's a great, great gift, really, to be able to work on yourself. Who has, what are my spiritual needs? Hi, darling.
I know that one of my biggest needs is to be able to take that moment without opening my mouth and be able to try to hear what God is saying to me, and right now I'm struggling with this one because I've fallen back to step one. So I'm really, I thought I had a handle on it, and I was praying and I was reading and I love a lot of that goes, so today I don't really know. I know that I need to not react, and in order to not react I need to be able to hear somebody other than myself, or something other than the crazy crap that happens in my head. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. You didn't fall back to step one. Your circumstances in life put you at step one. We don't fall back. I'm at step one on a daily basis. What are my limitations and do I accept them? Good morning.
Still learning what my limitations are. I didn't really have a gauge before, I think, and I would think that I would fall short of what, I guess as far as responsibility goes, what I thought I was supposed to be doing in any given situation. I would often fall short instead of pushing through and finding I didn't know what my limits were. And I can see that also with boundaries, too, with other people. For myself, anyways, is when I deal with limits, is in any situation, how far should I go? And how far can I go? And try to find that, I guess, discern which is appropriate. And now with Al-Anon, I think it's been a great gauge for me, because I can bounce things off of people. And if I'm in a situation where I don't know how far to go with it, I'm starting to learn that there's support there. I may have to phone somebody and maybe have someone else point out, maybe help me through situations so I know how far to go with things. I really don't know how to, this is tough for me. And I think I accept my limitations when I recognize them, but I have trouble recognizing them. And it's getting better, I guess. And I think now I'm pushing myself further. Before I would stop short of what I would normally, what maybe my limitations were. And now I'm finding I'm going a little further and maybe taking more risks and testing myself more. And maybe I can, I'm capable a little more than I thought I was. So I guess, I don't know if that makes sense. But I am doing more for myself and also finding out how far I can go, I guess. I'm not as scared to push the limits a little more, the fear of the reaction I would get from myself or others if I go a little too far. That's all I'm really thinking
about. Well, thank you. I just learned something from you, so thank you. I did. I learned that I oftentimes let my limitations stop me instead of pushing through or getting the help I need to overcome them or to work through them. And I didn't realize that till you said that. Thank you. Now I'm going to have to spend some time on that for a while. Call my sponsor. What were the times in my life when I experienced the most self-confidence? There you are. I bet you it was last night, huh?
higher power asking you to do something that is outside of your comfort. And it used to be the time I felt best about myself was when I was teaching a bookkeeping class or instructing someone how to do their books, because I knew how to do it. It wasn't something that I risked embarrassment for, because I knew how to do it. But last night, when you have someone up there introducing you, and then you get the warmth of the introduction, and then you actually speak. The last time I spoke, I did lots of notes, right, because I didn't want to do it wrong. But last night I didn't, because I thought, well, it's 10 minutes, and I need to learn how to wing it, right? Because otherwise you don't do the honesty thing, and you don't. But I tend to babble, so it was totally out of my comfort zone, right? So then when I got up there and did realize that one, you have to breathe, of course, but but just when I went home last night, it was amazing how I felt about myself. I could have picked 30 things in there that were mistakes or code of ethics, all that society crap that they give you that you have to stand by. And I didn't feel bad about it, because I actually managed to share without preparation again. And totally want to wake up myself. So that, to me, that's where my self-confidence comes. It's when I can achieve something that I don't like doing, but I can achieve it because I need to do it. It's something that's part of the growth in the program. And yeah.
Thank you. What are some of the things I know how to do that make me feel especially proud of myself? Good morning.
Some of the things that I like, that I know how to do, is to stay away from getting engaged in the power struggle. And stand up for myself. That's always been a very weak spot for me. And I try to do that.
Thank you. What stops me from doing what I really like to do? Big one for me.
And how true it is for me. I'm Val. What stops me right now, I think, is my job. I just took on a new job within the last year because I like a challenge, and it's been very challenging. It's physically draining, mentally and physically. And I've also been diagnosed with a health problem that's probably related to my job due to stress and that. So I'm like Kitty, I'm responsible for H1N1 too. We're gearing up for that, and that's a big job. I'm hoping it'll go away, but it won't.
So, what can you do about that?
I don't know. You just have to live one day at a time, I guess, because that's all. We don't know when it's going to hit or what it's going to be like. Sometimes I'm very selfish. I have to think of myself, too. How am I going to get through this?
Thank you. I like how we talk it. H1N1. Now it's like we have a computer virus going around instead of, yeah. How do I react or respond when someone offers to help me do something? It's okay, I can do it. Good morning.
I don't feel like I have to do everything anymore. And that's thanks to coming to Al-Anon. I'm not responsible for everything anymore, so it's okay if someone offers to help. I can accept that now.
That's real progress for me. How much time do I spend alone? And what are some of the things I do when I am by myself? Keep it clean. Oh, it's my girl that rolled her eyes earlier.
I don't spend much time alone. Not at all. Because when I spend time alone, I tend to get in my head. I try and read now. I do a bit better with it, but a lot of times when I'm alone,
I get into my head and then I start judging. So I don't really spend much time alone. I'm getting better. It was one thing I didn't know. I've never, like from the age of, grew up in a family of 7 kids. Was in a relationship at 14, 15, moved out. Always had somebody there. I don't ever remember being alone. That's different than lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And went from one relationship to another and married at 20 and started having kids at 25, but was always not, yeah. So that's not a very comfortable spot.
I'm going to throw that open to the crowd a little bit. Why do you think we don't like being alone?
We don't like ourselves.
Any other ideas?
I spend too much time alone. All my life. I was an only child, and I dealt with problems in our home by going to my room. And I read a lot, and I have used that as an excuse not to do things in like in my marriage and with my kids, is it was a way of leaving anything that was hard for me to deal with or that had conflict in there. So for me, it's not about, you know, it's like what I need is not to be alone. And that's what I work on. Because it takes me where I don't really want to go. But it's also a default setting in my life.
Thank you. It's not the things that are assets in one person's life or defects in another. It's how, you know, it's kind of interesting how that works. How does my current attitude toward my self-worth affect my loved ones and my family? Nobody has that one? Well, then I'll give it to the group. How do your current attitudes toward yourself affect your family and those you love?
You don't know how to love yourself, then the relationships you're in those to get that from the other person. You're actually using the other person as opposed to it being an equal loving relationship. I'm in that relationship to get my needs met. It's about me. I'm being selfish. I don't see it that way when I'm in it, but that's what's going on. And it teaches the other people to behave the same way in the relationship.
I had an incident just the other day at the supper table. My 16-year-old son came home and told me that some of the kids at school said to him that, you know, he was really worthless and that that life would be so much better if he would just kill himself. Oh. And he came home and he sat at the supper table and he just was telling me kind of matter-of-factly. And I says, and so what did you think of that? He says, I thought he was full of shit. I just need to tell you just how very, very glad I am that you're home and how much I do love you, and don't you ever forget that, and that you're worthwhile in our lives, and aren't you lucky you have a safe place to come home and be? I said, I bet you that kid that said that to you doesn't have that in his home. And I said, so what did you do with the situation? He says, I just walked away. He said, I get the emotions first.
I think you should. That is very sad. I'm so glad he had a good place to come and tell his mom. That's even more important. All right, we're talking about control a little bit. Not that any of us have a problem with that. One of the effects of alcoholism is that I have been overly involved in other people's choices. What time am I supposed to finish up here, by the way? If I feel responsible for someone else's behavior, then I have not detached from whatever I'm allowing to embarrass, frustrate, or otherwise bother me. I'm still thinking that person is belonging to me as a possession rather than an individual. I used to lay out my loved one's clothes. No. So that his appearance would represent me well. That would be my daughter. In Al-Anon, I learned that by doing this, I am really insinuating that he or she is less able to select what he wishes to wear than I. I loved that. I had to read that. He asks, how did those in charge control me, and was that control helpful or harmful? That's one I forgot to write. I'll leave it open. Who was in charge of your life when you were in the throes of alcoholism? Or maybe you still are.
He would state it very freely, and if anybody else had a different opinion, if, you know, that was it, he'd shoot me down. So what I learned was that he was very controlling over all of the kids, and I mean, for their self-expression.
Does anybody know how to respond when things do not go as I would like them to go?
Hey. I'm Ricky.
Hi, Ricky.
Yeah, I have a control issue. When I read this, I was thinking, you know, just kind of doing a snapshot, and I appreciated, at least I was on the right track to talk about responsibility, because I think that's where, you know, in situations in my life, it's it depends where my level, at least where I think the responsibility is, because there's areas that I'm not responsible for, so I don't care. Like, not so much I don't care, but that's not mine. I don't need to worry about that. I'm not responsible for that, so I don't have to respond. The key word here, too, is respond versus react. And that's where I get in trouble, because I think that I'm responsible for my significant other or others, so I react when things come my way rather than respond. Thinking that I'm responsible is where I'm going with that. So having seen that, I see that clearly more and more, that trying to understand too, you know, the basis here is control. You know, and as a man or as a male, you know, we think we need to be in control, but there is some things I need to control. So having said that, I need to understand what that is and what that balance looks like, because I tend to control my significant others in ways that I shouldn't be, versus I need to control things. So that's kind of where I'm at, trying to understand, you know, what I need to control, what I don't need to control, and to what level that it's appropriate, and you know, trying to identify those things and do it appropriately for the benefit of, especially the significant others. You know, like when I'm at work, I don't have that issue unless I'm responsible and I have to take control and do whatever it takes to get the job done. But when I'm at home, you know, that's when it gets hard, and that's when it can get perverted, and unfortunately, that's the website.
Thank you. How do I use other people to get what I want? You don't have to get real detailed, but you can talk about it. I know somebody's got this one. Okay, anybody have a burning desire to address this one? Karen? She's coming to me like...
He was quick.
I didn't even see that.
That's Richard. That's Richard.
He did rebuttal time.
I just simply like manipulation. I think it's wonderful. I was taught from a very young age to use manipulation. That's fine, fine art. Like, you know, it's a manipulation. I was taught from a very early age that if you can get somebody to do what you want them to without ever actually asking them to do it, that was just fantastic. And you know, I to this day, I'll go home and I'll watch my mom, and it's kind of like, oh, I'm starting to get where this is that I like that. It's a family trait. It's taught that way. And so it's coming for me a very conscious thing of, oh, what am I doing here? And I have to look at my motives. And is it something I choose to participate in? And sometimes I do. And it's then I get the opportunity to take a look at myself and evaluate my motives.
Attitudes. Do I tend to see my cup as half full or half empty? Who has that one?
And the really funny thing
about that as much as someone was like,
oh my goodness, because yesterday when I was here, I literally said, like, to somebody, I seem to view my cup as always half empty rather than half full. Like, I said that yesterday, so it's really weird.
Funny how that works.
But I think that one of the biggest things for me is that I guess I didn't really realize before that I had control of how I felt, but I didn't have control of how what was going on, you know, around me. So that's kind of, I don't know, before I used to just think that happened and it's so crappy and negative, 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 and I would just look at the negative of everything, but I didn't, like, really realize I was doing it. I guess I did because I was being so negative, and but I didn't realize that I had control and that I could try to see the positives in a situation. So I think that that was, that's a huge gift that Al-Anon, like, has given me as the tool to realize that that is something I have control over, because everybody here loves control. So I actually have control over the way that I feel about situations, although I don't have control about the situation. But so that's kind of neat. And so I guess now I'd say that my cup is halfway between half full and half
empty. That's real progress, though, isn't it? See? This is progress. Good for you. Let's see, what do we have here? How does my attitude change when I'm with different people? You know, kind of like when you're in an Al-Anon meeting, it's like, I'm in a great mood. This is so great. Then you get home, it's like, oh, crap, I'm back home again. How does your attitude change, dear?
When I saw this was initially, I think there's an attitude of wanting to control the situation, because probably a fear of whether I'll fit in. We were talking about this earlier about what people think of me, but I'm not. That isn't an issue for me. My mother was really into what people were thinking, and mostly because of my behavior, but. So I determined I was never going to be like that. But then I grew up with a lot of rules, and Roman Catholic nuns with a lot of rules, and now I think menopause and age has done something to me. My husband is a scientist, and we travel internationally, and we go to a lot of, what are they called, schmoozing things, and I find, like, I'm comfortable here. My attitude, and because I've been in the program long enough, Al-Anon kicks in very quickly with my Al-Anon people. But when I get into these situations, I get nervous because, I want to talk. I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. And the other day I was in one of these situations, and I said something about my husband studying all his little organisms, and I said orgasms instead. At first I don't realize that I said the wrong word, and people looked at me rather oddly, and then one said, some benefit to you. And then I said, well, what did I say? And of course my face is as red as a beet, but God, I've got an attitude of humor. And anyone of you that know me know that I can laugh easily and make a fool of myself. It's not a big deal. I might go home for 3 days and go over this over and over and try to, if I victimize myself with it, but I try to just, and my attitude is I'd like to just be able to accept people, and someone said this earlier, and just enjoy people and enjoy the moment and keep my mouth shut. If the wrong word comes out, then I have to suffer the consequences. Probably an issue of control. How can I control the situation? I also like to manipulate. But, the program doesn't allow me to get away with that stuff. I get sort of a stab somewhere to stop. I recognize it right away and don't go there. Just accept the moment. Try practice mindfulness. But I have really gotten into some situations with my words.
I won't forget that story anytime soon. I think we have time for probably two more. Top that one. How do my actions show my gratitude?
Actually,
And if it was difficult, I wanted... Oh, we'll skip that story. How do my actions reflect my gratitude? I actually have to very consciously make sure that I'm being aware of my attitude. And that I've taken so many things for granted, such as having a spouse who really loves me dearly. And in the past, I would not appreciate that. And so what I have to do for myself is consciously say, what are your actions reflecting? And choose on a very conscious level to have my attitudes reflecting gratitude. And I'll also do gratitude lists, especially when I'm feeling particularly lousy. But for me, it's so easy to find the negative, the half full cup, and to try and to flip that and to see things being beautiful. We live in a world that it's really easy to see the negative. And that idea that that same situation can be looked at from a different perspective is a real blessing of this program.
Thank you. My husband and his sponsor always say, if you're happy, tell your face.
Yeah.
You know, because he feels that if you walk into a meeting and everybody looks, I mean, do you really want that? Not particularly. I mean, I remember a film I saw one time that had a dramatization of an hour-long meeting and everybody was all, and I thought, dear God, people would run screaming from that meeting. I mean, nobody wants, but yeah, I always remember that with my husband. He always says that's one of his best contributions to my life is, if you're happy, tell your face. You know, so. Last question, and then we should be able to wrap it up, and you'll feel so much more progressed. This is a really biggie, so whoever has it, answer it, and then if anybody else wants to chime in, knock yourself out. What changes am I grateful for that have come about because of the Al-Anon program? Penny.
Well, I'm quite new at this program, too. I've just been in the program for now almost 2 months. I'm very grateful that I have a place to run to. I have a place that I can feel who I am and be who I am. And being a twin to my sister, I never had an identity. We were always called the twins. So I didn't know who I was. And so, yeah, I'm very grateful that I am able to find out who I am and get a hold of my feelings, because I've suppressed all my feelings all my life. And I'm just starting to learn about myself and who I am, and I can't control anything that is going on in my life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been really grateful for this chance to do this workshop, Progress. For you, that's, you say you're fairly new, and the other lady over here that said she was back at step one. I think the hardest thing when you've been in the program a while is to realize you're going to be back at step one a lot, you know. And unless somehow you've achieved sainthood, for me it is very hard to not realize there are going to be lots of times when I backslide because I'm only human. And it is very difficult sometimes to walk into a meeting, especially people that you've been around a few 24 hours, to say, oh crap, I'm back again. You know, here I am back at square one. I'm really glad that there's newcomers here that have short periods of time, because in truth there are days when you're much further ahead than you are, that I am. Because you take it for granted, or you forget to practice. It's not as life-threatening. It's not as vital, maybe. I live with a sober alcoholic who I've never seen drink. And when he acts crappy, then I turn around and act just as crappy as I did with an active alcoholic. And then I think that, you know, talk to my sponsor, and why is he so crappy? And she'll say, well, he's an alcoholic. Jeez. Yeah. And you came in here sicker probably than he did. Oh, that's right, too. You know, it can be real easy to backslide. So I tell you, on any given day, there's a chance that you are much closer to serenity than I can be, because it's a little more vital to you right now, or you're in a situation where it's even more important to spiritually crawl out of that hellhole. But I can go into that hole at any time, and I frequently do. So I am grateful that it is a road of progress and not perfection, because then I wouldn't have to come to meetings anymore, and that would be really a shame not to be with my peeps here in Allen. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's the fourth step.